Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now it's finally come, school holidays for primary schools joining, perhaps if they have siblings in secondary school children on holidays at the same time. So as parents map out the summers, when is a safe age to start leaving children at home, and when are other children responsible enough to babysit younger siblings or indeed neighbours or other children? And in a world of phones, streaming and unpalatable content, are those rules changing with what's at home when children are there? Well, to discuss this, I'm joined by psychologist Niamh Delmer and by parenting columnist Jen Hogan. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Niamh,
good morning.
At what age can you start to think about leaving children unaccompanied?
Yeah, it's a tough one for all of us mums that are trying to work throughout the summer. But I would tend to agree with the TUFLA recent document that says really children under 14 are not seen to be mature enough to be left supervised, and definitely not for long periods. And also the NSPCC saying that under 12 children are rarely mature enough to cope with emergency situations. I also feel it is to do with the child's level of maturity, the area they live in, how well prepared everybody has been for this, if there's been practice dummy runs for it, and that there's set boundaries, because my main concern would be around access to the internet devices and that it's fostering an indoor lifestyle.
All right. So people would have, I suppose, fewer concerns about their children being out on a green or, you know, perhaps playing with their neighbours or friends for a couple of hours during the day. But you'd take a different view then to people being in the house and left alone.
Yeah, in the house and left alone, depending what they have access to. So I'd say there's kind of good boundaries, there's strict kind of guidelines about what's off limits, you know, from raiding the sweets in the press to access to the internet. You know, those boundaries would need to be set, and children need to be protected from, you know, as you say, wandering off into territories that are damaging and dangerous for them online.
All right. Jen, a lot of parents would worry if you leave your kids at home. Mm. You're at the very least going to come back to a worktop that's covered in food crumbs and wrappers and dirty dishes. But worse, perhaps somebody has a freer and all the friends come round.
Yeah, I think, like you said there, the dirty worktop is probably the least a parent's worry.
It's a given, isn't it?
It's a given. So that's given even when you're there and you leave them in the room or you leave the room and they're left to their own devices. But it is something I think that parents are facing into more and more now, particularly because a lot of families, both parents will be working if it's a two-parent family, and if it's a one-parent family, a lot of times the parent will be working too. So as we go into the summer, we have that dilemma. What do we do? Because kids are too old perhaps for summer camp, and that happens at quite a young age. Like when we get to around 12, you'll find a lot of children perhaps reluctant to go to summer camp. If you don't have somebody to actually bring them to summer camp, because that time often might not start till 9 or 10 and you just can't work around that and then finishes early, then perhaps there are younger children as well to be juggled too. I think Niamh hit the nail on the head there when she said about the indoor lifestyle, and that I spoke to parents actually about this. Nona was coming on today and I spoke to parents about what they were doing, and a lot of parents reported back that they are keeping their children indoors and are on consoles and phones and tablets all day long, and that's what they're having to do because they have to go out to work and their kids are at that awkward age where what do I do with them? They're too young to work. They don't perhaps even feel comfortable with them going outside and playing. Everybody's okay with that when they're at home, that, you know, there's somebody to check the door is locked and that they come back at a certain time and they don't wander off maybe further than they are, or if they fall and get hurt, that there's somebody there to see them. But the majority of parents that I spoke to actually felt more comfortable with them being indoors and not heading out, so that they knew they had made their way back and there wasn't an emergency outside of the house too. So it is the sort of huge dilemma, particularly when you do look at the TUFLA guidelines.
I suppose if they're out, they could be just, you know, you're exporting your dilemma to another parent's house, because they may just call over to their friends and find themselves there.
And that's the dream. I mean, that's the dream. Right. Another parent takes on your kids. Who's not in favour of that?
But except the other parents, yeah.
Except the other parents, perhaps. But that actually is often used as a solution too, that kind of shared play date thing, even though we might not call it that when they're a little bit older.
Sorry, you were going to talk there about the TUSLA guidelines and what the official guidance on it is and the legal position, I suppose.
Yeah, so I mean, there is actually no firm legal position on this, but this TUSLA advice is that nobody under the age of 14 should be left alone. That goes for babies even. Now, here we think babies, who'd leave a baby alone, but the temptation maybe to leave a baby who's sleeping to run down the road to a neighbour for something. You don't leave babies alone, younger children. And I suppose what might surprise a lot of people is that when we talk about babysitting, which is where parents might look for a solution here and think there's a load of teenagers around, perhaps I'll get them, or maybe I've older children. The belief is that a child should be 16 before they're babysitting as well. So again, going back to parents and asking them about what their real life experience is of this, a lot of parents told me that they have 13-year-olds minding younger siblings and 14-year-olds. Again, I suppose you've got that slight difference because you have a family relationship and you have that family dynamic and an understanding of what the children's needs are and perhaps triggers and all the different things that go with having younger siblings. But it is still maybe going against what the official advice is around looking after other children who are younger than them.
Niamh, you'd mentioned also, you know, the wisdom or lack thereof of leaving younger children at home. But I suppose, when do you begin to expose children to short times on their own in the house rather than it being a big bang ultimately when, you know, they do become a teenager and you leave? Is there sort of an anxiety associated with being on your own in the house, or is small amounts of that acceptable to build up some resilience?
Yeah, I think, you know, judging the child's maturity levels, you know, to start kind of maybe going to the shop and, you know, again, it depends on the area. Like if their neighbours around and they pop in and out, that's, you know, a help. But judging the child's maturity levels, yeah, to start kind of drip feeding small chunks of time, see how they cope with it. But also it's very advisable, as the NSPCC says, that the child is comfortable, mm-hmm. that they're not in any way ever forced to stay at home alone if they don't feel comfortable with that or if they're anxious. And we see with young people there's more and more anxiety levels around and fears and that. So conversations need to be had first, practice runs need to take place, small chunks, build it up, and then good preparation. What do you do in emergency? Who do you go to? How far away are you going to be from them? What is the contact going to be like? I know some parents might have, you know, very reasonable little cameras that are inserted in that they can, you know, speak through them, check on things that way. So, you know, setting things up as much as possible. But like Jen says, a lot of parents will say to me that they give instructions not to open the door, not to go outside, not to leave the house. Mm-hmm. So again, it's fostering a very indoors lifestyle for the child. And even, you know, like, you know, boredom, you know, is going to set in as well, unless there's a lot of maybe neighbours coming in or there's things arranged. So we need to look at ways. And I suppose people in the workplace, and especially as mothers in the workplace, you know, again, we're trying to juggle all this and we're trying to kind of, you know, find solutions for this. And maybe workplaces and organisations could be a little bit more supportive around that, or maybe family, friends, you know, can row in a bit more during these months as well.
But I mean, you've mentioned a couple of times your concern about internet access and devices in the home, and I get Jen's view on this as well, if you want to come in on it. It's just, are there any tips as to what to do? You're talking about, you know, put all devices in a locker, turn off the Wi-Fi. You know, if you do have to leave and you do have concerns, what are the practical steps you'd take?
Yeah, I think it has to, especially for the younger teenager, that has to be monitored, because it is protecting them, you know. So it is about having conversations with them, letting them know why this is happening, limiting access or having parental controls or whatever can be set up or none at all, you know, and it's TV for that amount of time or reading or setting up kind of things that they could get involved with. But, you know, a child alone at home at a young age with unlimited internet access is a risk.
All right, Jen.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Niamh in terms of trying to monitor it. I think the conversations, and I think she's spot on when you talk about having those conversations. We need buy-in. You need buy-in from your teenagers here, because the idea of approaching this with a sledgehammer approach and just going, no, you can't have that, that's just not going to work. And they will find a way around it. That has been the thing, I think, even raising teens myself, I've realised with the best laid plans, and they find ways around lots of your rules. So I think having those open conversations rather than blanket bans are very helpful. I mean, I certainly find on the occasions if I was heading off somewhere and I had maybe one of the younger teens at home, if they have a pal and it's a pal that, you know, you're comfortable with, a pal coming over, there's actually comfort for you and them. They tend to feel less anxious if they have somebody there. And if you're trying to set up a situation where maybe, I mean, the watching telly, the thing that we were warned about years ago, you know, you go, sure, you have the square eyes, don't spend too much time in front of the telly. And I would far prefer to think of children outdoors, but I do realise the situation that parents are dealing with. But if you have them at home watching a movie together, or you have kind of some sort of negotiation about what's going on, and having those chats and the regular check-ins that you need to have with them.
So ring them at a regular time during and checking. The day.
But I do think parents also need to be up to speed with what their teens and what their, I suppose, right, preteens even at this stage are doing, that they're familiar with the social media platforms that perhaps they're using, that they're familiar with the sort of content that they're maybe consuming, so that they can do their best. And that's what we're all trying to do, to try, right, and stay on top of things.
Niamh, people may not live beside their friends, and online gaming, or certainly during the COVID lockdowns, at the risk of triggering people by the mere mention of them, but online games where people were talking over a network was actually great for kids as a means of having company. There's chat there, they're playing a game that they like. It's not the worst way to while away a few hours, although I'm sure there are people who would disagree with me on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything in moderation, isn't it? And again, we have to remember that there's lots of positives about social media and the internet, absolutely. And we know from young teens, especially being left alone for short periods of time, it really boosts their autonomy for most teens. It gives them responsibility. It, you know, really makes them feel kind of like it's a positive thing for them, for most young teens, in short, appropriate kind of bursts. But yeah, it's everything, and every child is very different. For some children, they're very susceptible to becoming addicted to games, and other children aren't. They could take it or leave it, you know. But again, my concern is just that access to the internet, what they're exposed to, the risks that we know from the research are there, no matter how well set up that we might think we are about it. And also that it's fostering that indoor lifestyle. Right. And a lot of kids are at a point, and parents are saying to me, can't get them out, you know, because it's kind of been, you know, something that they've just got kind of used to, being indoors, and then it's hard to get them out the door. And I think that's a shame. There's lots of outdoor activities that they could engage in as well. There's lots of clubs out there. It is tricky to try and, you know, maneuver all that. But there's maybe relatives that they could do little jobs with, you know. And sometimes, like with my own teen, I feel, God, it'd be great if he could have a little job, you know. Mm-hmm. And he'd love to have a little job, but, you know, he's not technically allowed because he's at that age, you know, 13.
Right.
That isn't allowed. But, you know, it'd be great to kind of bring back the Boba Job things, or, you know, appropriate jobs that teens could be involved with a bit more.
Okay. Jen, Dave, I suppose there's always the starter job of the lawnmower.
There is, and that's, I suppose, you'll see. I know I have a couple of entrepreneurs, Del Boy impersonators at home going around. They're offering to do different jobs to try and keep themselves occupied.
Oh, no, I mean just cutting the grass at home. No. I'm not even talking about the name.
Not selling the dodgy gear, but coming up with ideas to occupy themselves. But it is really hard trying to get jobs if you're a younger teen. Even at 16, it's really hard trying to get a job. A lot of places, they don't want to know, particularly if it's maybe retail. It's easier if you have an 18-year-old, there's not the same restrictions around their working hours and even maybe the products they can sell. But I'm finding, both again from personal experience and speaking to mothers, even those who have older teenagers, maybe 17, perhaps even 18 over the summer between fifth and sixth year, they're also finding it a little bit more difficult to get jobs because places are aware they're just doing this for the summer. It's a lot of hassle for us. So that part is really difficult. But for the younger teens, it's particularly stressful because there's so few outlets for them.
We are getting listeners getting in contact for you know, not having a dad in the mix for a view here. I suppose I have to out myself here as a father of four that the questions you heard today were informed by a father of four and some of the issues that arose. So I hope at least that perspective has been helpful. But my thanks to Jen Hogan, parenting columnist, and Niamh Delmer, counselling psychologist. Thanks very much for joining us on that. Now, coming up tonight, voters in the US will get to see their presidential candidates debate for the first time. We'll preview the issues.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.